God to Numbers in the Old Testament, the fourth book of the Old Testament, and we'll break into the chapter at the verse 41. So Numbers chapter 16 and the verse 41. And it's recorded in the Word of God for us. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation were gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and, behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and, behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. I want to read that verse 48 with you again that our brother Morris read with us a few moments ago. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 48. And here we read words concerning Aaron the high priest. And we're told in verse 48, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. When you study the life of Moses and the history of the children of Israel, you will discover that throughout the wilderness journey, the children of Israel continually displayed a perpetual or a continual tendency to always be murmuring and complaining at the leading of the Lord. In particular, when this took place, that is, when God's own chosen people began to complain and murmur at the providential leading of God's servants, Moses and Aaron, it was often Moses whose integrity was brought into question. And you will recall on how one occasion that when the people began to murmur, it reached such a height that God himself caused the entire congregation to wander for 40 long years in the wilderness when they left the land of Egypt. And remember, men and women, this evening, that that journey from Egypt right through to the promised land should have only taken but a few days. But the Lord here dealt with these men and women, and indeed the entire congregation, causing them to wander for 40 long years. Now, it may be thought that when you read there of the Lord dealing out such a severe chastisement upon the nation of Israel, that it perhaps would cause them to think about how they, or think before they complained, and about their murmurings towards Moses and Aaron as to where they were going and as to how the Lord was leading them. But as we discover through the history of the congregation of Israel, that that was not the case. Because we could leave before you tonight a number of rebellions, a number of times when the children of Israel here murmured and complained against the Lord. And in Numbers chapter 16, we have the record of one of those rebellions of the people of Israel, the children of Israel. And it perhaps is the most daring, most notorious of all that is recorded in God's Word. And I refer here to what has been termed the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Because really the rebellion here in Numbers chapter 16 really begins with these three men in verse 1. If you look at verse 1 of Numbers 16, we have these three men mentioned, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And really the story behind these three men is that they, within their hearts, they displayed a desire to usurp the authority of the high priest Aaron. They desired to contend his position that he held within the camp of Israel. And we read through those verses there from verse 1 right through to the verse 31. You discover that these men present themselves before Moses and Aaron. Their desire is to establish a new way of approach to God. They desire to take away the office of Aaron and apply it to themselves. And we discover something. That the Lord deals with this situation. He deals with it in wrath. Because if you look there at the verse 30, we read here of the Lord responding to the request of Moses. Moses asked the Lord to deal with this situation that has arisen. He asked the Lord to put things right in the camp. And in verse 30, we're told that the Lord was to make a new thing. The earth would open up her mouth and swallow them up. That is, these three men and all who had gathered around them. In fact, we're told that they had 250 princes who had set themselves along with Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And they had rebelled against God, ultimately, but against Moses and Aaron. And in verse 31 we read, "And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods." In a moment of judgment, the Lord deals with rebellion within the camp of Israel. He deals with the murmuring spirit of the people of God. And we're told that in an instant, the Lord causes the very ground upon which these men stood, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, 250 of the princes, and the earth swallows them up. The Lord by his wrath, or the Lord was moved in wrath to deal with these rebels against his word and against his will. Because really that's what this is, men and women. Men showing a discontentment or a dissatisfaction with the mind and the will of God. God had decreed that Aaron would be the high priest. He had declared that Moses would lead the men and women, the congregation, through the wilderness. But yet the people here displayed a discontentment with what God had ordained. And we see how it resulted in the wrath of God. Now again, I pose that question. You would think again to yourself that, well, on witnessing, the whole congregation witnessing one act, a divine act of displeasure against sin, the sin of murmuring, the sin of rebellion. You would think, well, they would say to themselves, we've got to put things right. We better cease to murmur, complain, and submit to the will of God. But you know, like the old heart of man, it never changes. Outward reform never works. Because we read here in verse 41 where the word was read in our hearing this evening. Verse 41 tells us, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord." On the morrow, 24 hours later, on the very next day, we see here a new rebellion beginning within the entire congregation of Israel. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now, when you read on through there, you read there of a rebellion taking place amongst the congregation of Israel. But it is not surprising to read on and discover that in the same way in which the Lord dealt with the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, that the Lord is moved, he is provoked to pour out his wrath once more against those who would rebel against his will and against his mind and what he has revealed. Because in verse number 43, we're told that Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, There's no consultation here between the Lord and Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And we're told that Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation." Now, why did Moses give that command to Aaron? To take the censer filled with fire and to run amongst the people. Because Moses saw something from the very door of the tabernacle that brought terror to his heart. He saw something that shocked him. And that was, on the outer ranks of the camp of Israel, the people, as far as Moses' eye could see, they began to fall. Falling under the wrath and the judgment of the Lord. Because in verse 46 we're told, the reason why Aaron was told to run, because there's wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. There was a plague that was sent amongst the people. Because of their rebellion, because of their murmuring. And therefore Aaron is told to run with the fire from off the altar in the censer. And in verse 47 we read of the actions of Aaron the high priest. He obeyed Moses. He ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And then in verse 48, we read here of Aaron, it says, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." You read there of the actions of Aaron the high priest. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. It is those words I want to focus upon this evening. Thinking here of Aaron the high priest. And I want us to think tonight here about Aaron's mediatorial position. Because remember, that is what Aaron was. That was what Aaron was fulfilling. He was fulfilling the role of a mediator. One who comes between two parties. Parties, one who has been offended and one who has offended. And we see here that the one who's offended is the Lord himself. And those who are the offenders are the people of Israel. And Aaron is said to stand between the dead and the living. And when we read through to the end of the chapter, we discover that it is owing to the actions of Aaron the high priest that the plague is stayed. But in verse 48, we have here Aaron's mediatorial position. He is fulfilling the role of a mediator. And as we consider this tonight, I want us to think about applying this to Christ. Because remember, Christ is said in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, to be the only mediator between God and man. And I want us here to see Christ under the type of Aaron. As he stands here between the dead and the living in number 16 and the verse 48. And first of all, let us think here about his faithfulness in that position. His faithfulness in that position. See, when the plague had begun, Aaron was commanded by Moses to run and to stand in the midst of the people. Now keep in mind that a few moments before that command was given, the people here desired the death of Aaron. If you look there at verse 41, we're told that the people assemble before Moses and Aaron. And they charge these two men with the death of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And in verse 41 they say, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Now that statement was not true, because there are two things that arise from that accusation. First of all, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were not men of God. They were usurpers of God's will. They desired to establish a new way of approach to God. And secondly, Moses and Aaron had nothing to do with the deaths of those men. It was the Lord who had dealt with them. So the people had got it all wrong. But in verse 41, we see the people desiring the death of Aaron. Yet when the plague breaks forth, and the command goes to the high priest to take the censer and run, does Aaron stand and say, "Well, Moses, do you realize these men were about to put me to death? Just let them perish." You see, God had ordained that Aaron be the high priest. It was his duty, it was his role, it was his function within the congregation. And as a man who was faithful to that office, he takes up the censer and he runs to the very spot where the wrath is. And he stands between the dead and the living. And when Aaron stood there, he was being faithful because we're told that he stood. He stood there. Until the plague was brought to an end. Because in verse number 50, we're told that Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Aaron runs. He stands, but he is faithful in that position as he stands there confronting the wrath of God. Those words are very interesting there in verse 48, where we read that Aaron stood between. It actually reads, or actually gives the sense that he stood before. He stood before the dead and the living. And if you can think about it in your mind this evening, there's the camp of Israel. The wrath is in one part of the camp. It's steadily moving through the camp. But here is Aaron in the middle. And on one side of Aaron is nothing but death. And on the other side, there are those who are as good as dead. But because of Aaron's mediation, because of his standing between the wrath of God. And when you read those words, he stood between the dead, it actually reads that he stood before the wrath, or he stood between the wrath and the living. Because remember, there was the wrath of God. And it comes right to the feet of Aaron the high priest, but can pass no further. What gospel truth there is there. Aaron standing before God, before the wrath of God, before the face of God. And as he stands there, he is confronted with the wrath of God. And I say, when you apply that to Christ, who is said to be the mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he not the mediator who bore the wrath of God? Because remember, that's what Aaron did. Aaron bore the wrath of God. The wrath could pass no further. But Christ, the mediator between God and men, Christ, the one who was suspended between heaven and earth on that cross, there he bore the full fury of the wrath of God. The entire wrath of God converged on Christ. And Christ, who was the high priest, the great high priest, he was faithful until the wrath of God was fully satisfied against all his people. A wonderful thought. There's a great truth there, seen in Aaron as being a representative. He is there representing the people. He stands there as the high priest. And I am not too sure, but if we think about it this way. Aaron stood there with the breastplate which represented all those people. And the wrath of God as it comes to the feet of the high priest. Aaron stands there representing those behind him. He satisfies the wrath of God. The wrath of God can come no further. I tell you, it's a wonderful picture of Christ. The one who represented sinners. The one who exhausted as the wrath of God was effused upon him. He is the great representative. So we see there the faithfulness of Aaron in his position. And we see there the faithfulness of Christ as the mediator between God and men. But we also see here the necessity of this position. Because there was an urgent need for a mediator. Whenever you think about what's taking place, God's wrath is being poured out against the people by the plague. And something must be done. Because we're told that 14,700 souls are taken away in the plague. But what was it that made the situation so desperate that Moses commands Aaron to take the fire and the censer and to run and to stand where the plague is. Why is it that Moses did not run? Why was it that Aaron ran? We'll maybe come to that later on, but remember this. God had ordained Aaron to be the high priest, not Moses. Salvation must come in God's way. It must come through God's appointed means. And on this occasion, it was through Aaron. And Aaron here, he runs, he stands. But what was it that made the situation so desperate that Aaron alone must run? Well, there are a number of questions, I believe, that need to be asked. So we can understand why this was such a desperate situation. And one of those questions I think we need to ask is this: upon what foundation did the wrath of God come forth? And secondly, what was it that provoked the Lord to destroy the entire congregation of Israel? Because we read there in verse number 45 that the Lord was about to destroy the entire congregation. Get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. The Lord is so provoked that he is about to destroy them in an instant. Well, I believe the answer to those questions are seen in an understanding of the history and the events that took place prior to this rebellion in number 16. And by that I refer to the law of God. The people coming to Sinai, where there they received the law of God, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, those laws that defined how Israel were to live and how they were to journey through until they reached the promised land. That was, I believe, that is key to understanding number 16. The Lord desires to consume the entire congregation. Why does the Lord desire to do that? Because of the law of God. If you remember, men and women, tonight, we're looking here at sin and salvation. We're thinking here about an entire congregation of almost 3 million souls about to be taken away in the wrath of God. Why was God so provoked? Was it just a burst of anger, wrath? No. There has to be a reason. And I say to you tonight, the reason is this. Exodus chapter 20. The law of God. Keep these laws. Keep the commandments. Keep the moral law of God. The covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, whatever you want to call it, it was there. Break this law, you will bring upon you the penalty, death. Keep this law, the reward, life, obedience. And remember that law that was given at Sinai. We think about the Ten Commandments. And I know there are some today who will deny us the use of that term, the moral law. And they will say, well, you don't get that term in Scripture. And that is true. There is nothing that is said to be the moral law. But all that proceeds forth from the Lord is moral. It is flawless. It is perfect. It is upright. But remember that law that was given to Moses. And then Moses gave it to the people. Was given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. The law was there. And Adam was given that same promise. If he obeyed the law, there would be life. If he broke that law, there would be death. And in number 16, what do we find? The law of God being broken. And the wrath of God, therefore, coming forth upon the foundation of the broken law. The law has been broken. The sin of covetousness. The sin of murder. The sin of jealousy. All those things are here in number 16. And therefore it's not surprising to read on and see the Lord pouring out his wrath upon the foundation of the broken law. And I want to really press that home to you tonight, unsaved. Because this is how we understand sin. You might be here tonight and you think about sin as something that's very light and something that's very trivial. Because the question I ask you tonight is this: what is sin? How does the Bible define sin? Well, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is the law of God? Because sin is the transgression of the law of God, according to 1 John 3 and the verse number 4. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. And the law of God, remember, is this. It is a reflection of the character of God. It is a perfect reflection of who God is. Sometimes we think that the law only reveals what God commands of us creatures. But the law not only states what God commands, it also reveals what and who God is. God is holy. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that the law of God is holy. Why is the law holy? Because the one who gave it is infinitely holy. And that means that sin is not merely a breaking of a law or a command by God. It is an offense to the very character and nature of God. That's how we view sin. Young people tonight in this building, you sit there tonight, I know you treat sin lightly. You think tonight, well, sin perhaps is only a cigarette or a bottle of booze. And if only I could give that up, well, then I would stop sinning. But you see, sin, as I said, is a transgression of God's law. It is the offense of God's character. And as you sit here tonight in this gathering, as a sinner that is, it means that you are a continual provocation to the very face of God, the very character of God. And you need not expect anything other than the wrath of God. Because the penalty for the broken law is the wrath of God. And when we deal with sin and we deal with salvation, it is necessary that we deal with God's holy law. Do you see yourself as that tonight? Do you see yourself as a rebel against God's law? Because that's what you are. You're a rebel against God's will, a rebel against His word, and against His law. And yet tonight you don't see yourself as such. But if you take away anything from this meeting tonight, I want you to take away that I am a rebel against God and His law. I think of the lovely words of the Reverend Samuel Davies, that hymn, hymn 54 I think it is, pardon from an offended God. Samuel Davies knew what it was. He knew how to define sin. He had offended God. Pardon from an offended God. Pardon from sins of deepest dye. Pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood. Pardon that brings the rebel nigh. He was a rebel. And you tonight are nothing short but a rebel against God and His law. Oh, I trust tonight that you will see that. You will see yourselves as such. Because that really necessitates that you need a mediator. One to come between you and the broken law. And there's only one to whom you can flee, and that is Christ. The one who has kept the law of God. The one who has satisfied divine justice. Because remember, when Christ came, He not only satisfied the wrath of God, but He kept the law perfectly. That is, the commands of the law. And on that basis, pardon for sin is granted. You need a mediator. The very fact that you're a lawbreaker shows you that your need is urgent. That you need one to come between, one to stand between the wrath of God and you as an offender. But we notice here finally the effectiveness of His position. We have there the necessity and the faithfulness, but we have here the effectiveness of His position. Because in verse number 50 we're told that after Aaron had stood between the dead and the living, there was the censer with fire from off the altar. In verse 50 we're told that the plague was stayed. The work of Aaron the high priest was effective in that the plague was stayed. Now just think with me for a moment here. We've been speaking here about the wrath of God and the foundation upon which the wrath of God comes forth. And that is the broken law. But we're told here that the plague was stayed. Now, why was it that the plague was stayed? Yes, Aaron stood there as the high priest, but it was not because of who Aaron was. It was by effect, or the plague was stayed, because of what Aaron carried in the censer. We're told he carried fire from off the altar, and he stood there with the censer and presented that before the face of God. But what Aaron carried in that censer, fire from off the altar, where the sacrifice had been, the fire had fallen. It's the fire of acceptance, the fire of satisfaction. And there as Aaron stands with that censer, presents it before the face of God, an offended God. God is well pleased. And upon that foundation, upon that basis, the plague is stayed. The Lord withholds his hand. Aaron's work was effective in that it stayed the plague. But that lets you see that in the same way there is that foundation upon which God's wrath comes forth, there is a foundation upon which forgiveness and pardon of sins takes place. It is upon the basis of God's law being satisfied. Forgiveness of sins, pardon for breaking God's law, always comes upon the foundation of God's law being fully satisfied. There can be no other way, because the law was broken and it must be satisfied. It must be made right. The wrath of God must be extinguished. And Aaron, by standing with the fire from off the altar, God is well pleased with what Aaron carries, and the wrath of God is satisfied. But again, I turn you to Christ, because there Christ is seen to be the one upon whom the fire fell. But remember, Christ was the only one who had kept the broken law. That means tonight that Christ is the only one to whom you can flee. The one who has rendered a perfect satisfaction to a law which you, dear sinner, man, woman, young person tonight, have broken. You know, you may have come here tonight expecting to escape the punishment of sin. That is, to escape hell. That's well and good, but if that is all you have come to seek, you don't understand salvation at all. Because remember, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ effected salvation first by keeping the law of God, and then by dying and suffering under its wrath. If you think about it maybe this way, Adam was in the Garden of Eden before he fell, all Adam had to do was keep the law of God and its precept or its commands, love the Lord and obey the Lord. There was no penalty enforced because Adam was an unfallen creature. But when Christ came into the world, the second Adam, he came when the law was broken and both the penalty of the law, the precept of the law was enforced. Men were to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. But men had to render a satisfaction also to the penalty of the law. And you know, man cannot do that. But Christ came. And Christ therefore had to keep the commands of the law. And he did that. He lived a perfect life. And that guaranteed the reward of keeping the law, everlasting life. But he also satisfied the wrath, the penalty of the law, which guaranteed forgiveness from sins and guaranteed a way of escape from the judgment of the wrath of God. You see, there cannot be entrance into heaven upon the grounds of just the Lord satisfying the wrath of God. There had to be the keeping of the law. There had to be the satisfying of the wrath of God. And upon both grounds, Christ has made perfect a salvation for sinners. And that's where you need to come tonight. You need to come to Christ. Because Christ is the only mediator between God and men. And that really brings home to my own heart as a believer. It brings out praise to think that here am I, child of God, and I have won between me and the wrath of God. That's your situation tonight, child of God. As you sit there tonight, saved by the grace of God, there is one between you and the wrath of God. Christ, the great high priest. But yet you unsaved. You sit here tonight and there's nothing between you and the wrath of God. And if you are to pass out into God's eternity, it means that you will spend eternity under the wrath of God with no one between. That's as simple as it comes. You need a mediator. One who is faithful and one who has effected a perfect salvation. It's all seen there under the type of Aaron. The one who kept the law that commanded that he as the high priest would run. And he stood and he satisfied the wrath of God. But may you go to that great high priest, Christ, the one alone who can satisfy and deal with your sin. May God bless his word tonight. Amen.
For invitation to come to you.